Now it's time to be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist, Joey Diaz. Research grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B. Outdoor Science and Nature. Man, do I have the coolest job. I travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Well, I want to stop taking animals for granted. The ones that I see so often, like the red-tailed fox who literally runs through the back part of my property every single morning. Doesn't walk through, does a little jog through the property, always moving, but I don't want to take it for granted. Or on just about every adventure that we are near water, I don't want to take for granted the great blue heron. He is truly a majestic bird. When you look at the colors and markings on him, the size, it is extraordinary. And as usual with my awesome animals, I will give you a few cool facts, but definitely one awesome fact about the great blue heron. Well, you can find them in just about every waterway, from lakes and ponds to estuaries along the coast, fresh to salt water, and from Canada and Alaska throughout the U.S., except high in the mountains and in the deserts, and I guess that makes sense. Well, take the time to observe them hunting, which they do most of the day, by the way. They are stealth at work. When you look at their long legs and you watch them, and they move in super slow motion. They don't even startle the little fish that's around their legs. And you could just see them, and they will just stand there. And it's like they are motionless, and then they strike with this unbelievable speed. Bang! And they come up with a fish. And most of their hunting, believe it or not, occurs, and this will make sense, in a foot of water, because their long legs, yeah, basically it allows them to perch above their prey. So they're sitting up top looking at what's going down below them going, okay, so what's on the menu today? And they got one. And really neat to watch. So let's discuss the characteristics of the great blue heron. They are the largest of the North American herons. Think about these sizes. Total length, 3.5 to 4.5 feet. Their wingspan is up to 6.5 feet. Watch them fly, and this is just my like image in my mind. They're like small pterodactyls. Their wings are broad, rounded, and when they are high up in the sky, it's so easy to identify them because of their long legs. And it's funny, when they're high up in the sky, yeah, they it looks like they're flying, so to speak, once again, not in that super slow-mo, but in slow motion, and they're really going 20 to 30 miles per hour. Well, Gab and I, you know, we're in the kayaks, and this is early, actually it was middle of the summer last year, and again, I see great blues all the time, and I have some from what we just saw on our biking adventure a few weeks back. Well, we're in a state park in the kayaks, and there was a couple of great blues, and it's funny that they're there, they're motionless. Sometimes if they're resting, they're on like a little branch overlooking the water, because guess what? If they're overlooking the water, they're actually checking out their prey while they're resting as well. And you will actually hear these croaks. Their vocalization are these loud croaks. And if you get too close and you encroach on them, you'll actually hear a croak or two, and they'll just fly off, and they just put themselves at a distance, and they always just put themselves at a safe distance where you're far enough away from them so they don't go flying far off. It's far enough, and they'll find that perch or land in the water, and then they're there, and they're off, and they're hunting. And when you check them out, an easy way to ID them is their neck is this really cool S shape. Their color, great blue heron, makes sense, is a blue-gray, but it has a wide black stripe over the eye. Really, really unique. Well, before I discuss their diet, I have an important story to share about you about bird imprinting. And bird imprinting is this. As soon as a bird is born, it hatches, whoever's feeding him, the bird will actually say, okay, that's mommy, that's where I get my food, or that's daddy, that's where I get my food. And what happens often is people will find a bird that they think is injured, maybe injured too, but they instantly start to feed the bird. A bird falls out of a nest and just simply needs to be put back in the nest, and they begin to feed it. And the bird just associates the human as being the person who's going to give them food forever. So a couple years back, I'm up in the Pawnskill River, beautiful place. I'm fly fishing out on my own. There's peace and serenity when I have a fly rod in my hand. I'm a catch and release guy. So I am fishing in this little hole that I have found really some nice trout in all the time. And I noticed that probably about 30 feet from me is a great blue heron. And many times that's a little closer. So about that safe distance. And he's just standing there, hanging out. So I get onto a trout, and I'm reeling him in. And as I'm reeling him in, out of the corner of my eye, I actually see the great blue, and it was amazing. It was almost like he was running through the water and stopped like 3 feet from my side, literally 3 feet from my side. And he just stood there motionless. And I am looking at him. I pick up the trout, always wet your hands first. Don't want to ruin the mucus on the side of their bodies, which is part of their protection. I handle the trout in the water because I'm going to release him. Little fly, take it out, nice and simple. And as soon as I let go of the trout back into the water, the great blue heron just scurried away back to that 30 feet away from me. And I realized that this bird was imprinted. He was waiting for me to give him dinner. Well, 10 minutes or so later, I get onto another trout. And think about this. This bird has learned that when the rod is bouncing up and down, and you're reeling, he knows that there is a fish and you're going to possibly give him dinner. And that great blue came over again to me, literally standing like 3 feet away. Couldn't grab a camera because I'm taking care of the, I probably would have gotten the greatest close-up shot I've ever gotten of a great blue at that juncture. And I actually released the fish, and he goes away again. And it was just so unique to see this. But we need to realize that many of these birds, they are captured and cannot be released back into the wild, you know, because they've been imprinted. And I'm going to share a second story with you that goes along with it so you'd understand this. At the Avian Wildlife Center, my friend Giselle Smisco, director of the center, she's brilliant with birds. And I was heading up there to do some migration studies with her. And as I'm getting there, she says, and she just basically said to me, hey, look, I'm a little bit busy right now. Can you just sort of amuse yourself for a little bit until I'm ready to go? I said, absolutely, because, hey, it's a sanctuary filled with eagles, owls, hawks, et cetera, all other birds. And she said, be careful of the turkey. He's imprinted. So didn't have a cameraman that day, and I film myself many times out in the wild. And it was close to Thanksgiving, so I just said, hey, I can do a little hello and welcome to Joey B's Outdoor Adventure. By the way, you can always watch our video episodes at joeyb.tv, joeybe.tv. But don't go there now because you need to listen to the rest of the story and the rest of the show. So I'm walking around with the camera. I see the turkey. He comes basically running over to me. Or as the way I look at turkeys, waddling over to me. So I set up the camera. I bend down. The turkey's like right next to me. And I'm doing, hello and welcome to Joey B's Outdoor Adventure. And I'm doing my little spiel. And I mess up a little bit. Probably the first time I've ever messed up on camera. So I go back over the camera. I want to hit stop because I liked, instead of editing through 87 million hours of footage. So I just hit play again. And I start my spiel again. The turkey's right next to me. I said, this is really cool. And mess up again. The second time, I'm sure, because I've been so perfect on camera. Please ask all of my cameramen in the past. I'm sure they will tell you that I am absolutely lying on that one. So anyway, I go back, stop the camera. I go back over. I nail it perfect. And I just got it. Hello and welcome, Joey B's Outdoor Adventure. Say what I have to say. And by this time, the turkey's realizing, hey, this guy keeps coming next to me, and I keep going next to him, and he hasn't given me any food. I stand up, and if you don't know this, turkeys have spurs on their legs that they use for protection. I stand up. He didn't get any food. He jumps up like a little karate kick. Whoa! And he gives me a shot in his shorts, That's my buttocks, with his spurs, because I didn't give him any food. And he's like, looking at me like, oh, I'm next to you. And I was like, I realized about the imprinting of the bird. I just got a shot in the shorts from a turkey. And I go, oh. So I sort of joke about this now, but understanding that imprinting of birds or not imprinting of birds is very important. And this show is brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. During this COVID time, you can go online and they have some great sales going on online where you can get percentages off. And you could even get curbside pickup if you need your gear right away. And so just go to RamseyOutdoor.com. You will see some great promotions going on for all your outdoor needs. So the great blue heron is a carnivore, and this makes sense because of some of the food I already spoke about what he's eating. He's eating fish, frogs, salamanders, snakes, turtles, insects, rodents, and even birds. Well, before I get to that awesome fact, see, that's my little setup for you right there. I thought I'd tell you some of the family members. Remember I said he was the largest North American heron? Well, there is the snowy, cattle, and great egrets, cousins, the little blue, the green, and the black-capped night heron, cousins, least an American bittern, cousins. And here's something really cool. In some parts of Florida, there is a subspecies of the great blue heron that is all white. They don't call him the all-white great blue heron. It's just a subspecies of it. Well, they will migrating depending on their habitat, and that makes sense because if you're in a great habitat, why would you want to leave? But in those colder climates, when you're going to get areas that are going to freeze, and it's very difficult to get fish out of a pond, a lake, an estuary when it's frozen. I joke, but that's a serious deal. So they're going to migrate, and some will go as far as the northern parts of South America. They will fly day and night. And up in the sky, you will see a few of them, up to 100 all together. Now, I'll tell you right now, I have not seen 100. But that would be a spectacular sight to see. So I'm going to tell you my awesome fact right now. And this is one of the better stories because I'm going to tell it by telling a story first. You know me in stories, but the stories also have meanings to them. But the story leads to the awesome fact. So many years back, probably about close to 30, I'm with the Featherman, my good friend, and we're just getting into birding. And could you imagine, man, his name is the Featherman, and then he's getting into birding. We're at the Great Swamp National Refuge. And all across America, if I see on the side of a road, cars, spotting scope, I know there's a commotion of outdoorsmen. And if they're in a birding community, it's a commotion of birders. Well, we pull up, there are all these spotting scopes set up. And I ask someone, I said, like, what's going on here? And she said to me, a woman turned around, one of the birders says, do you see the heronies? And I pull out my binos, my binoculars, and I'm looking. I said, no, I don't see them. She said to me, you can't miss them. I said, but I am. So here I am looking. She said, you've got to see it. I said, I don't. She said, like, they're right there in front of you. And I said, well, is the heronies bird anywhere near all those great blue herons in the trees next to their nest? She smiled and she laughed. You see, a heronies is not a bird. It's a colony of great blue heron nests. They were probably 30 to 40 feet up in the air, all of these nests. The nests, think about this, because of the size of the bird. They're 4 feet wide, 4 feet deep, with all these, in my description, pterodactyl-looking birds all over the trees, and there was like 50 feet up. You could find them everywhere. These were probably 30, 40 feet up, but you could find them up as high as 50 feet. And these colonies can have from 5 to 500 nests. I'd say that what I was looking at were 30, 40 nests. I weren't counting them, but there were great blue herons all over. It was monster-sized birds, monster-sized nests, and they make the nests, again, think about the size of the bird and what it's got to support and the babies, etc., made of all these sticks. The female will lay 3 to 5 eggs in here, and both parents will take turns incubating and feeding. And the young fledge, and that's fledge means fly for the first time, will fledge at about 60 days. You see, most birds, because your protection is flying, I mean, birds, it's, think about this, some predators going after a bird on the ground while they're going to fly to get away. So fledging is important. And most birds fledge about 30 days plus or minus. Well, because it's such a large bird, it fledges at about 60. And you think about this. If you find a Herones, you're going to have an ample time to enjoy it because they're there for such a long time. Now, here's another cool fact that goes along with the awesome fact of the Herones. Think about this. They reuse the nest from year to year. You know, they will come back and rebuild the nest a little bit, you know, add to it. So if you find a Herones, you know that year to year, you're going to have this colony of great blue herons. And, you know, they will range from 20 to 60 feet above the ground or water. Every now and then you'll find them in shrubs. And I don't get that one because if they're that low, they're close to predators. If you could build this monstrous colony way up high, that's just me. That's being safe. So you've got this beauty, stealth, these herony colonies. I definitely will not take the great blue heron for granted ever again. Until next time, enjoy life's adventures.
You can follow all of my adventures online at joeybee.tv. That's joeybee.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free, and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures.